Councilman Sheldon is president. Councilman Bell. Councilman Hollins. Councilman Smiley. Councilman Cartier. Councilwoman Diller. To my right is my aide Kate Maxwell, and I am president of council Karen Hartley Nagel. Approval of minutes.
Motion to approve is distributed.
Okay.
Second.
Second, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Before we get to the agenda items, I wanted to say that several appointees slated to address council today. There was a time concern. It ran pretty long the last time. So the discussion of the policy finance advisor job descriptions are going to be on the next executive committee agenda. Next, I-17-032, consenting to the appointment of Harry Hill III to the position of General Manager of the Department of Special Services. Mr. Hill, would you like to come up and say a few words? Thank you very much.
I haven't been the third in a while. That was like being home again. Well, I'm here, hopefully, that you'll appoint me to the position of General Manager of Special Services. I think I may be uniquely qualified for it in that I've got about half my career private sector, half public sector, all of it to do with finance, all of it to do with employees and people, Medicaid in particular to do with working with the community and various groups. And I think my first 20 plus years in the oil business make me pretty qualified for what special services is about. I'm used to fleets, I'm used to buildings, I'm used to everything it takes to keep businesses rolling. So I could probably talk about myself forever, but I think that covers it.
Okay, are there any questions from council? Mr. Bell.
Yes, Mr. Hill. Familiar with your background, what was in the resume and everything else, but how do you see your expertise from your business involvement? And you're talking about various components of personal management and everything, but special services as itself, as it applies to our sewer service services.
Sewer service in particular?
Yeah.
I don't know about sewers. I'm not an engineer. What I am used to is urgent calls. I'm used to having to put out fires when they happen. I'm used to having people on call 24/7 and what it takes to keep people motivated to do that. My oil business, for instance, in the wintertime was 24/7. Whatever had to happen, had to happen. It was my business, my money, and I look at the county the same way. What's the most efficient way to go after it? I'm dependent upon my engineers to explain specifics as we go along, but I think my career does match it. I was also in the gasoline business. I had 16 service stations for 20 plus years. They also had problems, especially the ones that were 24/7. So you kind of get used to, no one planned for it, but you've got to make it happen.
Okay, just one second. Mr. Woods, Mr. Street, Ms. Kilpatrick, Mr. Tackett, and Mr. Hollins have joined us. And then Mr. Street.
I'm sorry I missed your presentation, but I'd be remiss. Hope the administration let you know that there's a clear absence of diversity, special services, there's a clear absence of diversity with contracts, which are substantial in special services, and there have been racial incidents wherein staff people have been subjected to racial graffiti and those kinds of incidents. In the workplace. So I hope that you and the administration are prepared to tackle that problem, which has been, quite frankly, an ongoing challenge.
Well, clearly is. And it was brought to me before I was even hired. When I interviewed with Matt Meyer, he made it very clear that was a key issue for me to address. I've looked at our numbers for the last 3 years, hiring wise. Better numbers than we've had in years past, but there's 390 people in that department. So good numbers, 50 hires. I think the number out of 50 hires was 19 diverse. That doesn't turn the number around for our whole department in any big hurry, but obviously we need to work on that. I'm aware of it. It's my job to take care of it. It's my job to address it when it comes up. And I think one of the reasons I'm appointed is if I can't get the job done, fire me.
Okay, next, Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Madam President, and
I don't want to leave Councilman Street out there alone on this issue, because when I met with Mr. Hill, it's one of the things we talked about at length, is special services. And it just didn't happen overnight. It's been that way for years. And a lot of the issues that Councilman Street has been brought to his attention has also been brought to my attention. And the response we've gotten is, it is what it is. And I think that, there needs to be a change there. The culture there, I think, is very negative for a lot of people, a lot of minorities in particular. And I've also brought this to the attention of the new county executive. So I expect some changes to occur within special services.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. Are there any other questions from council? Okay, hearing done. Thank you very much, Mr. Hill.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, next we will move on to R17033, consenting to the appointment of Michael W. Hosnicki, and correct me if I didn't pronounce that correctly, Hosnicki, to the position of Chief of Administrative Services. Mr. Hosnicki, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Mike Hosnicki. I'm retired from the state of Delaware, fortunately, after 25 years of state service, and came to the county and put my name in for an opportunity through the resume process. I'm excited to be here. I have a diverse background from technology to management. I've been in the technology field since the 80s, worked at the state in different levels of capacities at leadership from the Department of Labor, Direct Administration, which includes procurement, facilities, IT, mail services, print shop. At the state, most recently at the Department of Technology, where I retired from, I had leadership roles on the policy side and governance of IT across the state. I think my diverse background brings some fresh ideas to IT, brings some diverse connections from technology to figure out ways to deliver digital government to the citizens who we serve. I think that through that partnership and the knowledge, we can do some good things together.
Okay, are there any questions from council? Mr. Bell?
No, Madam Chair, not really a question. I have really the privilege of knowing Mike and his family throughout the years and the services that he has accomplished in the state government realm, but also in the community with the Volunteer Fire Service and countless number of hours contributing back to his community. His father would be very proud of him, and he's quite the young man, and I think very reputable, and I've never seen a task that he's taken on that he hasn't addressed it in a very professional manner. So I look forward to working with him. Thank you.
Thank you. For members of council, any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none.
Yes,
Mr. Tackett.
Well, only comment, I guess I did have an opportunity to review the resume, and comments I quickly offered to you is, it was very impressive, and probably out of all of us, you are uniquely qualified for this. I look forward to really getting you on board and addressing the issues that we've had and problems that we've been dealing with for a little while, and you appear, at least by your resume, to be a big challenge.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Any other questions or comments? Mr. Street?
Consistent with what Councilman Bell said, family has a long history of service in the community, and that speaks for itself. Your service, your family service. So, thank you for being willing to take this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us. We'll now move on to R17034, consenting to the appointment of Valencia L. Beatty to the Newcastle County Human Resources Advisory Board. Ms. Beatty?
Hello.
And would you please say a few words about yourself? Thank you.
Okay. I guess I'm just thrilled to be here. I'm Valencia Beatty, and it's just nice seeing everyone again. I have a vast experience and background in human resources. I'm also an attorney. I've worked in the private sector. I've worked in government, both at the state level and, of course, at Newcastle County. And then Delaware Tech stole me away. And I have an opportunity to come back and perform a function here that is near and dear to my heart. I do miss Newcastle County. I love where I am. I have a reputation of being a fair but firm administrator. I think most of you who know me know that that is my mantra. That has not changed. I know Delaware Code. I know Newcastle County Code. I follow rules. I'm a policies and procedures driven woman, and I do believe in treating everyone fairly and equitably. I'm not afraid of a challenge. I'm not afraid to speak my mind. And I would love for you to approve me so I can come back and serve the county in another capacity.
Mr. Smiley.
For all those self-descriptive comments you just made, welcome back.
Yes. Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Lynn was my rock at a certain point when I was very upset, and I am thrilled to have you back. And I know you are a policy and procedure person, as I feel that I am, and I very much welcome you back into this position.
Are there any other questions or comments, Mr. Street?
Thank you very much. Appreciate all your service and all those capacities.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from council? Mr. Bell?
It's like having somebody in the bullpen of a ball team, because you know, it's a very unique opportunity to have someone with not only her background, but her experience as being our chief human resources officer. And so I can see nothing but good and positive come out of you serving on the advisory board. And like I say, it's nice to have somebody to hold, and you just never know.
I think any other questions or comments? Seeing, hearing none, Ms. Beatty, thank you very much.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Thank you. Next, we will work on resolutions 17035 through 17040, which are all reappointments to the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board, and Council did not specifically request to interview the reappointments that we talked about in the last meeting. However, if any of them are here today, we would welcome you coming up and telling us a little bit about yourself. Does anybody? Yes, please come forward.
My name is Frank Gant, and I am the chairman of the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board. I have been the chairman for approximately 8 years. I've been on the board for 9. I come from the background of the fire service, 50 years. 12 of those years, I was president of the Odessa Fire Company. 18 years, I had my own business, so I do have a knowledge of what is going on in the business world as well as the fire service.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from council? Mr. Bell.
Just a compliment. You know, Frank Gant has not only represented his 3 fire departments of his Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board District, but serving as the chair for the past 8 years, he's done a very commendable job in leading the efforts and meetings of the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board and the association.
Okay. Yes, any other questions or comments for council? Mr. Street?
Thank you very much. What you're doing and what you're obviously ready to continue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from council? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to let out of order here. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Mr. Sampson's unable to attend.
Okay.
So I didn't know if Mr. Gant wanted to speak on his behalf.
Okay, we're next on to R17041, consenting to the appointment of Gerard Sampson to the Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board. Mr. Sampson, would you like to speak for Frank, Mr. Grant? Or Gant?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Gant. No R, thank you. Yes, Jerry is, he can't be here today because he's ill, but he is a valued member of the fire service. He's been into it for quite a number of years, and he's very anxious to get on the board officially so that he can participate in his district as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions from council? Mr. Bell.
Yeah, Mr. Sampson, very familiar with him also, and, you know, from Caligo Fire Company down to Minquist, the Fire Association's Community Services, retired one of the police officers. And so, very, very outstanding young man, and I think he'll do a great job.
Excellent. Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I would just, based on comments of Mr. Gant and the fact that Mr. Bell is personally aware of this gentleman and the reasons that he couldn't be here, I'd ask that we move this forward along with the others, despite his not being able to personally be here.
Okay, and that was my next question. Any other questions from council or comments? And then next, would council like to move forward with the appointment without speaking to Mr. Sampson or recommend tabling this resolution until a date when he's available? Ms. Kilpatrick?
Do we just need a motion to say that?
Yeah.
Or does, I mean...
We can do it just to be clean. I make a motion. We move forward with R-17-041 in this instant matter.
Second. I'll second.
Okay. Okay, we're moving forward.
And all in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. Next, the Audit Committee legislation update by Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I've got to be brief with this. I've put a copy out to everyone. Just want to make sure we're all still on the same page before Mr. Migliori moves any further. Real quick recap. The Audit Committee was serving... The Audit Committee was serving 2-year term, 4-year term, and a 1-year term. It's staggered by county code. County code established that. However, sometime after that, the state of Delaware adjusted the state law, and we're still looking at how it happened, but the matter of fact is it did happen, that the state has instituted 1-year terms. So we then, Councilman Tackett actually began this movement, we passed legislation to conform with the state code. That's been signed, so now we conform with the state code. The next step is for us to get state code changed, because I don't think anyone agrees that 1-year term works. The staggered terms worked before, so we're looking at getting back at that. So what Mr. Migliori has drafted this resolution, as you're all aware, that subsequent to my long-sought vacation and the issue that took place down in the state legislature, as a result of another council member's phone calls about legislation I had down there, this council voted that we would discuss anything to go to the state legislature, and then the state legislature said, anything coming out of Newcastle County Council, we want a resolution to cover us. Everyone remember that? So that's what this resolution is not being introduced tonight, not being voted tonight, but it was prepared, so I figured I'd put it out. It will. If we're still on the same page, this will go on the agenda for the 28th, and I anticipate by then also have a piece of draft legislation by Mr. Migliori for you to be able to review, take a look at, so you have an idea where we're going. Now, it's my intent, because I don't want to see it get bogged down. They're in their hearings down there now. They're not going to do anything for a few more weeks. So it is my intent. I've spoken with Senator McBride, Representative Johnson, and a few others. So it's my intent, with council's approval of this resolution on the 28th, for me to take the resolution, the draft legislation, and hand deliver it to the state legislature to begin the process down there. Mm-hmm. So that's, I just wanted to put that out there, discuss it, if there's any comments. Nothing really voted on today, it'll be back. But if I'm going down the wrong road, let me know, because there's other things I can be doing.
Okay, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. Councilman Smiley's laid out a logical course of action. Obviously, the 1-year term requirement on the Audit Committee is just too much to maintain that. And it makes sense to go to a longer term of 4 years. My question is, which committee in the General Assembly will work this or draft legislation concerned modifying their...
We're going to begin it at the House.
Okay.
I could yield to Councilwoman Kilpatrick, but with my years of being down, I'm not going to anticipate what committee it will end up in, because it can go wherever they want it to go. But I don't see any pushback.
on this. It doesn't cost them any money. It doesn't change anything. And again, as of yet, no one's been able to explain why it got changed the way it did. And just so we know, once we get that done, the next step will be we'll bring forward another piece of legislation putting our terms back in place. And then my thought after that, again, just my thought, I'm not trying to take over, I'm just trying to logically lay out the path forward. We would change county code, and then we would take and say, okay, talk to the candidates, talk to the auditor, whatever, and we would pick two. We would change their appointment to a 4-year, mm-hmm. change the other two to a 2-year, change the other one to a 1, move on about our business. So that can change, but that's the long range plan to repair this situation and get it back where it should be. So.
Any other questions or concerns? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Discussion of the news journal articles. I've handed out a few that you can just take a look at. Cecil County on the verge of a job boom, which references the Newcastle County issues, and we won't go into depth because we don't have a lot of time before. But and then the next one is from the news journal, bleak budget facing tax hikes, agency and program cuts. Delaware hardest hit at the county level, which again discusses the county. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. We're going to next go to the discussion regarding the barn house demolition situated at 3205 Silverside Road. And I first became aware of this past week, on Facebook, and I believe you were handed out the email chain on that so that you can reference it. But when I called Mr. Hamby, who had put out some information on what he believed had occurred, and so I talking to him, I found out that he had already talked to Mr. Meyer, and he had also talked to Mr. Weiner about this. So we talked for a little bit. And I'm next going to turn it over at this point, and I'd like to ask Rich Hall from the General Manager of the Department of Land Use to briefly discuss this matter. Rich?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for the record, Rich Hall, General Manager, Newcastle County Department of Land Use. And we have a PowerPoint here, and I'm going to probably just sort of cut to the chase in a couple of the slides, but we've been doing a fair amount of research since this happens. Okay, so it's coming up. So we looked into this, and what I can tell you, and
excuse
here we
me.
Go. All right. So I'll just go off of this briefly, and I might.
Can I ask for a brief delay while I'll go see if Mr. Hinkle's here? Since this is Mr. Weiner's district, I think his age
is. Yeah, and I will let you know that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
He is here.
I didn't see him.
Just to be clear, we tried to be pretty.
It's the glasses.
We got a long email from Mr. Weiner also that was included, and I spoke to Mr. Weiner beforehand, so he was aware and actually made this suggestion.
I'm not saying he wasn't, but I just want to make sure
that we place it on this calendar and discuss it here, and then he will, I'm sure, talk about it when he gets back.
We got to get his vision plan fixed.
But he was fully aware. He didn't mention that we had spoken, but he's spoken with everybody, I believe, prior to it even being on the calendar today. Okay.
Thank you, Madam President. So I'm going to talk about what happened, why, what our review entails briefly, and then going forward, suggestions for going forward. So as you heard, there was a historic barn that was demolished on 3205 Silverside Road, and this happened, and this got put into social media, emails, and that type of thing. I responded to an email last Thursday to one I got Wednesday, I believe, as this started to make its rounds, at least my office, a conversation about this land use issuing a demolition permit for a historic property. And so what the issue really is whether or not a staff person in our department can issue such a permit without going to the Historic Review Board. And so if you go to our code, go through the building code, what it says is that the if for any properties that come in, buildings, structures that come in for such a permit, the code says in pretty plain language, pretty general language, that they go to the Historic Review Board if they're 50 years or older. And it's and then there's a process that can go from there. The board can issue the permit. They can have hearings. They can hold it for 9 months. I'd like to say at this point that if for those interested in historic preservation, number one, if it gets to this point where the property owner has filed for a demolition permit, I would submit to you, and this is not a criticism of historic preservation at all. I've done a fair amount of that in Maryland before I came here. You're already in pretty deep trouble if you're trying to save a building, if you're already at the point that's at the demolition permit. But again, back to what the code says. So the code basically says, get an application for a permit, staff gets it, and it goes to the Historic Review Board, the HRB. What has happened over years and decades, quite frankly, is a process was established, documented in several locations that I can highlight for you. And there's probably others. We haven't found them all. We've been trying to research this since Friday, I guess, Thursday or Friday, where staff screens the demolition permit if they're found to be over 50 years old, the building's found to be over 50 years old, because there's enough of them, and we have qualified, highly qualified staff on historic preservation in this county, and can screen them without sending them to a volunteer board that meets monthly. That's not any criticism of the board at all either. It's just has become a practical matter. And we have confirmation from the board chairwoman that we were asked to do this. This process is outlined on our webpage for those applying for demolition permits very clearly. Process of staff reviewing, and then if found historically significant, forwards it to the board. If not, we can issue the building permit, demolition permit, and that's what happened. And it's in, so it's been on our webpage for a number of years. It's been in comprehensive plans, the most recent one, 2012. It was in the 07 plan, and I think, Reed, it's all the way back to the 02 plan that was in there.
It's mentioned, but it's right. 2007 so, where it specifically talks about the review process.
Right. So you can find it there. There's other places where this process is written out, but those are two that I would highlight for you today. So what I'd like to do is just go to the next slide. Here's our webpage. So if you go to our webpage, very clearly, if you click on demolition permits, you see this, and you see the historic review requirements in that second bullet up there, and it outlines the process that we've been following for at least 20 years. So there's that. If we go to the next, this is what our staff person found when she went out there to do a site evaluation, and it lays it all out for you there, and you know, we can give this to you. I'm not going to read all that to you, but in early January the application was made. One of the points with this is not something we just casually got a demo permit, issued it without thinking about it. Staff met with the applicant. Staff went out and visited it, took pictures, documented it, and you can see, I won't get into all the details of what she found and did not find for what would be expected for a historic barn, but the bottom line is this barn that was originally historic, mainly the foundation left, has been highly modified and very little historic value left. So she made the call, which is, in her professional judgment, is her job, and did not send it to the Historic Review Board, as she has been directed to do for many, many years, and issued the permit. If I could have the next slide, please. These are some of the notes on the photographs, just to give you a sense of some of the modifications that detract. And these are just external pictures, not showing you any internal. A chimney, air conditioning unit, windows, modern windows cut into the side of the building. It was a residence, wasn't really used for a barn anymore. A deck was added, dormers, new dormers were added, foundation was bumped out. So again, there wasn't a historic value left, it wasn't historically significant anymore. There are criteria, established criteria that staff use to evaluate whether or not to forward a demolition permit, whether or not to forward it to the HRB. Next slide, please. I pretty much explained all of this. He's just citing some of the documents. And then skip one more. Go to the next one, please. So going forward, what we've done is we've made it clear to staff that for this period that we're in right now, when we figure out what to do next, internally and certainly with council, we're going to forward them to the Historic Review Board, any historic demolition permits. And we have talked to legal staff, and what we found is if you take the plain language of the building code and what has been practiced for about 20 years, we could use some clarifying language in what our current practice is, even though official documents like the comprehensive plan, as you all know, are adopted by county council. But, and it was in 2012 and 07, but in the code, it could use clarifying language to basically further elaborate what our current practice is. So we're happy to do that, but that's where we are. And we can certainly give you more detail, but I figured for now, that's about how much you want.
Correct.
Didn't want to filibuster our own presentation.
And I thank you so much.
Sure.
Calling you over the weekend and asking you to be here.
Sure.
You know, this morning, I thank you to that you're here. But it appeared when it was on Facebook and we were getting a lot of input, and Mr. Hamby was getting quite a bit of input on his Facebook page about where it was going. And I think it was not clear whether we had violated the law for the county or not. Let's clarify that. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. One thing, just to I think it's obvious, I want to make clear, is that our staff person that did this work, she is staff to the board. So, she is acting on behalf of the board. Now, you could have attorneys argue whether we're in full, clear, legal, solid footing to do what this practice has been for a long time or not. But just for safety's sake, we're amenable to amending the code to clearly state in code what has been practiced for a very long time.
Thank you. And this was really about taking a negative and turning it into a positive. This was an opportunity for us to do it differently. And so I spoke with Mr. Cartier in depth. I spoke with Mr. Hamby in depth and Mr. Weiner in depth, how we can do this moving forward and work together to create some legislation to really update it using best practices. Mr. Hamby talked about possibly 4 to 5 other states are doing it a little bit differently and maybe better. It may be a time for us to take a look and see what we can do better to address these issues. And I think even yourself and we spoke about that. Do we want to take a look at it at 50 years or 75 years? I mean, there's a number of things we can do differently. But Mr. Hamby, I'm sure he can speak, to some of those issues. I'm now going to turn it over to Council, Mr. Smiley.
And this is why I don't.
And then Mr. Hyens.
And this is why I don't do social media. Stuff just gets blown up. But I'm just going to say, thank you. I read the email that was sent to me. I had no qualms whatsoever that the department had acted correctly. I've attended quite a few of the Historic Review Board meetings, and at every one of them, it's clearly been notated that the department has reviewed the request for demolition, everything else, has reviewed it, has been to the site, and has entered their recommendation that it come to the board. So for years, I've been going there, and it's always been put clearly on the record as to what authority the department had, what they did, and that they've always done their due diligence. And quite honestly, ad nauseum to me sometimes. I was there the night I turned 50, and I was worried they wouldn't let me make any changes if I got in. So, thank you very much. I have the utmost confidence. And
Mr. Hollins and then Mr. Tackett.
Just trying to get some understanding here. This was a barn that was converted into a residence?
Yes, sir.
And somehow, after that happened, somehow there's still supposed to be some historic value in what was at one time a barn and now it's a residence? Where would you find a historic value after that kind of transformation?
Well, to your point, sir, that's what our staff person found, and she made the professional's judgment that it wasn't worth sending to the Historic Review Board because that's the kind of screening process that came up with. And what I would just add is, we did some research, and 46% of the buildings in this county are 50 years or older. And, you know, I just turned 53 last week, and so I'm beginning to wonder about the 50-year mark. But I think it's a great screening tool with criteria. I think the process works. You know, we have professional staff, have criteria that we use, and if she makes a judgment, she goes to the board. She does that, and that's been the arrangement for a long time.
I guess I'm just wondering, when is common sense? I mean, when you look at a barn that was there whenever it was there, and now it's a residence. I mean, it just seems to me that it should not take, you know, a long, drawn-out process to make that determination. I would agree with whoever the staff person is. So I don't even know how we got to this point with this particular property. In particular, I would agree that it should be simplified and we should have a uniform way to move forward. But at some times, I think, I don't know how you get from a barn to a home, and now we're saying let's try to find some historic value that's there after that kind of conversion. It just borders on being ridiculous, in my opinion.
Mr. Tackett?
Thank you, Madam President. Yeah. I agree that the department does a good job today, you know, with historic preservation, as well as the board, who does a phenomenal job. Given the restraints that they have, you know, and the tools that they have in their toolbox to work with. So ultimately, you know, it could very likely be up to us that we need to do a little bit of amending, as you said, and look at. And also, I'd like to point out, you know, as you're entering the budget time and we're coming up on this too, years ago we had a dedicated historical planner in your department. Yeah, too. Christine and, well, what was it? I forget the other one, but Christine was the one at the end. And that was dedicated to historic preservation and working. Now we've migrated to, oh, this in addition to your other jobs, you're going to do this too. So I think we just need to be mindful of that.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Councilman.
Yeah. Any other councilman comments, questions, Mr. Cartier?
I only know that this building was sort of a landmark building. It was along a highly traveled road on Silverside Road. I happened by this while it was being demolished, and I mean, the pictures don't tell you the scale of this building. So I think for a lot of people in the area who are accustomed to this landmark building, yes, it had an agricultural use as a barn. It was later converted to a residence. It was a landmark. And to see somewhere, seemingly out of nowhere, the building being ripped down created quite a stir. And I mean, to rip this down took a while. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a day. So I know that it made the rounds on social media, and I am very interested in preservation, and I understand the consternation of the public immediately concerned, because there is no notification per se in something like this. There is no opportunity to comment. And so people feel shut out, and not heard. So for that reason, you know, I'm glad we're just looking at this. I understand the department executed this, you know, situation according to accepted practice in the law. I get that. And like Councilman Tackett said, we may have to make some modifications to the process. So I know there's a very well-respected person from Randy 100, Mr. James Hamby here. I think we should give him an opportunity just to speak shortly about this and lend his commentary. The other thing I will say, you know, with all due respect, Councilman Weiner isn't here, you know, I understand his frustration not being here. He was out of town. But I guess in the end, this kind of issue should go to the Land Use Committee for further discussion or drafting of, you know, legislation or new policies.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
And to that point, Councilman, when Councilman Tackett and I first heard about this, which was through Councilman Weiner, we did send a note over saying that if there was something that needed to be tweaked, then we would need to talk about it. But I think in going back to Councilman Collins, and I do understand some of the frustration, and we know that if we had public hearings on every single thing that went on, then we would have complaints that the people weren't getting their permits in timely, and that causes problems also. But back to his point, I think we need to sometimes look at the process and just not be reactionary. This blew up over the weekend, and we hadn't had a chance to go through the process. And I think we have the responsibility of looking at the law and the process and making sure that it was handled appropriately without the hype that goes up with all of that.
Yeah, and I'm agree, and that's why we're having this now, before it blew up even more, which it looked like it perhaps was going to in the media, that it was an opportunity for us to look at it here and have Mr. Hill give his side immediately, or Mr. Hall. Thank you. And I thank you so much for doing that. You did an excellent job of presenting that. I'd also like to have the opportunity for Lou Hinkle. Would you like to give any comments for Mr. Weiner?
First, in regards to what was said about it, probably after the fifth margarita, he's probably upset not being here. He's on vacation.
Right, well, I did talk to him in the Virgin Islands, he said it's so relaxed. He was having a wonderful time.
As he has always advocated for transparency, I think this is an excellent opportunity for our administration to reach out to the public to make a better mousetrap out of what's going on. And to just a quick response to what Councilman Hollins brought up about historic preservation, I believe there were a pile of rocks that stopped the Route 202 and Falk Road project for, I think, almost half a year, a pile of rocks that someone had determined to be historic. And they had historical significance, not value, but historical significance. So Newcastle County at that time did issue a stop work order, or I think it was through the state as well when they were building up the roadway there. But they've also shown that they are supportive of historic preservation in the way that the code is currently written and applied. And as the councilman said, he believes that the code was properly applied here. And at this point, then, I'd like to give Mr. Hamby a chance to respond for his concerns as our constituent.
Yeah, Mr. Hamby.
Thank you. Madam President, my name is James Hamby. For the benefit of those that weren't on council, I'm here to vote. Penrose here. I did serve a term on the Newcastle County Historic Review Board, so I have a little bit more background than some might have in this issue. Social media is the way that we get government to move these days a lot of times. And so that's what we did. This is not the first instance of this sort of thing that I've been concerned with in Brandywine 100 alone. I can guarantee you that these incidents probably occurred in your districts and nobody saw them or nobody said anything. As Councilman Cartier alluded to and Lou alluded to, the issue is transparency. Mr. Hall admitted that the code is clear. Now, I'm not an attorney, but I play one on TV sometimes.
Good enough.
Yeah, good enough. During my day job, anyway. These have to be referred. That's clear letter law. And you can develop and decide that the Historic Review Board has booted their authority, but they don't have the authority to boot them, quite frankly. And so that's the issue here, is doing that. Now, to Councilman Holland's issue of the barn itself, we have a whole section of the code related to historic preservation adaptive reuse policies, where we encourage people to adaptively reuse historic structures. And to say then, well, we're going to do this with it and we're going to get a little bonus for doing it, and then it's not a historic structure anymore, flies in the face of why we're doing it in the first place. We're going to have an adaptive reuse code. This structure was left deliberately on a double-sized lot when this housing development was built in the 60s. It sits next to the original farmhouse. And so not only is it the structure itself, but in historic preservation, we consider context. And so you by removing the barn, you're destroying the context of the farmstead of the house next door. So that's the issue that raises the hackles of folks. And like Councilman Cartier said, it is something that, to the public that lives in Brandywine 100, it's a landmark that we're used to seeing that's no longer there. And again, to adapt or reuse issues, the Blue Ball Barn is an awesome example of, we use Mr. DuPont's milk barn, and now it's an excellent site for, you can have your wedding there or have events there. And so adaptive reuse is an issue. And so that's that. But the issue is, how do we move forward? And since the council president called me, I've looked through and researched probably 50 or 60 different historic preservation ordinances. And I believe that I've found one which I think solves everybody's problem. And if we enact a text amendment to reflect this with a little tweaking, I think that it brings the public into the picture and gives the transparency we all seek. And I don't think it unnecessarily delays the process, and it doesn't gum up the Historic Review Board works too much. And this comes from the Model Preservation Historic Preservation Ordinance from Connecticut. And it states, just let me read this as it's in here, any application for commission approval shall at the latest be placed on the agenda of the next commission meeting, which occurs more than 7 days after the receipt of the application, except as otherwise provided in this subsection. The commission may define one or more classes of minor alterations to be delegated to the Department of Planning for review based upon the applicable design standards. A copy of each administrative action by the department shall be transmitted to each member of the commission by the department. If within 10 days of the approval or rejection, any person requests the commission to review the action of the department, the action shall be suspended and the application shall be placed on the next commission agenda for action by the commission. And so what I would simply submit is that we do a text amendment that says Valerie does her excellent job. I was on the board when she was the official historic preservation planner, and Susan Brizolero was the assistant, and she and I disagreed about different things at that time. But that's the way it is. You can have people with identical historic preservation backgrounds, and they can come to two diametrically opposed positions on historic structure. So Valerie does her work, makes her decision. That decision gets forwarded to all the members of the Historic Review Board, and we put a place on the Historic Review Board website, on the county website where Historic Review Board is, a list of these and the dates of importance. And if somebody clicks on there and says, that's important, I want the Historic Review Board to look at it, it gets referred to the board without question. If nobody says anything or no members of the board say anything, after that 10 days has expired, the permit goes through. I think that that would resolve the issue for everybody. One thing that was in my thing, Mr. Hall spoke and used a different date. I don't know if his date is different, but like for this one, what irked me and other preservationists was, at least according to the county permit on the, this particular parcel, is the permit was issued the same day that it was requested. Now, he says that Valerie went out and looked at it on the 25th. The permit is dated the 27th, so whether that's a typo or whether that occurred, I don't know, whether they called Valerie. I will tell you, when I was on the Historic Review Board, 1997, 99 or so, we spoke, and I don't know, Valerie, whether you remember whether they actually filed for a permit or just came to us for kind of a discussion, but several of us went out and talked them out of filing for a demolition permit or going forward with it, whatever the case might be, I don't remember specifically, but they didn't go forward with it. It's the same family. The husband has since died. The wife is now wanting to tear this down, or did tear it down, so that they can build a house for her and her son and his family to live in together. But I just think that we can resolve that, bring the public into it, and comply with what we want, which is transparency, where people don't feel like something is happening that they don't know. It may be entirely legitimate, but if people don't feel like they know, they're not a part of the process, which, as I pointed out in the email, is required under certified local government status from the state, which is from the feds, which involves money coming into the county. You know, the public has a requirement to be involved in the whole process of historic preservation, and this would resolve it, and I'd be happy to send that to you and to Mike and whoever and to Mr. Hall. And but I think that that short text amendment would resolve the whole issue.
Thank you, Mr. Hamby. Are there any questions or concerns from council? Hearing none, is there anybody else from the public? Thank you very much, Mr. Hamby. Next, are there any other agenda items under other? Anyone? Hearing none. Does anyone from the public wish to address council on anything else? Hearing none. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned.